Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Well, welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday, and wishing you a good day if it's a repeat program on Friday. I haven't done this before, but I have back-to-back invited Rosana we had her last week, and her book, we were reviewing her book, A Bordo del Normandy, Rosana Matienzo Carrión. Welcome
back. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am very honored and glad to be here again.
Yeah, well, we got some feedback, and I thinking over...
You're amazing.
We didn't get into the meat of the book. Although the meat of the book is very complex, and there's just so many areas that you we can go into. But basically, the meat of the book is who is this Don Felix, and what did he accomplish, and what were his values and all, and his way of thinking. So I asked her if she would come back, and she was nice
delighted
enough to say yes.
Thank you.
And I told her, I said, Rosana, take a look, and I'm asking you listeners to take a look at this movie called The Intern, Robert De Niro. And it's on Netflix, and it's going to be taken off Netflix at the end of this month. And I said, take a look at it, because I'd like to discuss it in connection with Don Felix and his way of being, his values, with the values of Ben Whitaker, the person that Robert De Niro plays in this movie. He's a 70-year-old person who, a widower, and retired, and couldn't find satisfaction in retirement, traveling and golf and this and that, and he really felt he had to get back to work, and he took this. He takes this job as an intern with a company, a young lady entrepreneur who's had incredible success building this company over 18 months.
Exactly,
going from zero to 220 employees, and so he takes a senior intern position, which is something completely new and novel, and I find interesting as an 81-year-old who
yes.
has not been willing to take what a lot of people consider, retirement of golf and traveling, which I do, but, being very, very active. And so I asked her to take a look at that, one of the things I wanted to do, Rosana, sort of for the listeners, because a whole bunch of them probably didn't listen to last week's program. And if they may have listened to certain portions, and so put it in context what we did. So I'd like to do three things.
Okay.
First of all, like I did last week, I want to intersperse the sermon and that I preached by the Danilo in the gospel, which I think is relevant, and intersperse it with the intern. What that movie and what that guy represents, Ben Whitaker and this 70-year-old going into this young entrepreneur, environment, the new way of things taking place. And then bring that in within, Don Felix and all the different characters you have. So that's my goal for the program.
Oh my goodness!
And we're gonna have a little bit of surprise. I asked her to. She had mentioned that there was some recordings of Mono.
Mono singing, yes.
Singing, and she said, "We'll see if we can find it." So at the end of the program, we're gonna put her singing.
It's important.
It's about a 3-minute, but we're going to reduce it because it's in French, and it's called the accordion, no?
The accordion in 1932.
So that's kind of, bring you back, not bring us back, none of us were there, but bring back, those days and that kind of music and that kind of a voice and singing. So that's the program for today. It's kind of like to start off with some of these para comenzar el día philosophizing, and so just start off with a little bit of that, and they kind of run. One's the They go from the 10th to the 13th of August. So really, and the first one says, no se puede encontrar la paz evitando la vida. That's the last one. That was the 13th. No se puede encontrar la paz evitando la vida. You cannot find peace by avoiding life. And it kind of, you know, it's by Virginia Woolf, the British writer. And I believe so much, especially these last 10 years, spending time thinking, addressing peace and how violence is so extraordinarily...
You're sounding like a Buddhist, and I love it.
But this idea that you can't just separate yourself from life, you've got to assume the obstacles and...
From reality.
Reality, and within that is facing all these things is where you find peace. It's not that easy.
No.
So you can't avoid life, and within life you've got to be seeking peace, which is I thought I told Rosanna all my listeners, the ones that have been loyal to me have heard my definition of
happiness. Let's hear it again. Let's
so
hear
much
it again.
But it's living your personal values, and each one is very different. Rosanna's values are going to be different from mine. With a sense of self-satisfaction, it means you've tried, you're trying every day, and you know sometimes you fail. But overall, if you're going to be happy, you've done it with a sense of self-satisfaction and with peace. Those are the two, and so you know, no se puede encontrar la paz evitando la vida. The second one is no se trata de cómo comienzas, sino de cómo terminas. And this is by Maya Angelou, a writer.
Nobel Prize.
It's not a question of how you commence, but how you end. And that you know, where I studied at Andover, the motto is finis origine pendet. The end depends upon the beginning, which is the opposite of this. This says, you know, no se trata de cómo comienzas, sino de cómo terminas. Well, the motto of Andover is the end depends on how you commence.
Exactly.
And my father had a saying that I don't agree with, but he says, crea fama y acuéstate a dormir.
Well, that's a terrible saying.
create fame and you can go to sleep. And it is partly right. You can get away if you've developed a strong reputation and you've been disciplined, and but not too long.
There has to be space for growth and change and forgiveness and empathy and all those things, which mean that it means that the reputation that you create may change.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
And Steve Covey says, and when he's says it turns the end depend, he says that he starts his book, you know, on the 7 habits of highly successful persons, is it? And he says that...
Who's this?
Steve Covey.
Okay.
And Steve Covey says that imagine the importance of really your end, your final goals. He says, imagine that it's a funeral, it's your funeral, and you're listening to people talking about you. What would you like them to say? What would you like them to really say about you?
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I do that. I think that's so critical. Steve Covey, that, you know,
provoked it
to a great extent, and that was about 25 years ago. I read that book. That book's been around for quite a while. But anyway, no se trata cómo comienzas, sino cómo terminas. I think that's more Steve Covey. The finis origine pendet, but you've got to start. The end depends upon the beginning. But you've got to have the ending in mind in order to keep your
focus. Viktor Frankl also says that, mm-hmm. that you have to keep a focus, or otherwise the end won't be so sweet.
And a little earlier, this is the 9th of August, Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, says, aquel que tiene un porqué para vivir se puede enfrentar a todos los cómos. He who has a reason for life can confront, face all the how or the whys So all these three things tie together. If you, depending on how you say it, but basically you've got to think about where you want to end, and have a purpose towards that, and things can fall into place, and you're going to have obstacles, but you're going to have peace as you follow it because you've got the right values, you've got the right thing going forward. So those three kind of go together.
Fascinating.
And we'll talk about whether Don Felix had all those in mind. It's interesting. The intern. How did you find the movie, The Intern?
Well, it's such a wonderful movie. I found it, first of all, it was very enjoyable. Second,
It's fun.
And
uplifting.
It's uplifting. And
especially for us older.
Exactly. Exactly.
Beyond 50.
Exactly.
He was 70, but it's uplifting. Yeah.
And he was such a nice guy. You end up wishing that there were more people like him. The only problem that I had with the movie is that I wondered how realistic was his role. And it was almost like, and I think it was portraying sort of an angel, mm-hmm. because his attitudes are so positive and so lovely that you think of him as, you end up thinking of him in the, as an angel.
Yeah, he was for Jules. I mean, he was really critical in having her see and quite a few people. Of course, it's an exaggeration because he's just almost perfect.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. He's so helpful and so not only helpful, he was so intuitive, and nobody had to request help from him. He knew exactly what he had to give, and that is something that particularly men usually are very unaware of that kind of role, whereas women are more willing to really observe and rise up to the occasion and mm-hmm. help with whatever may be needed. But I think it also presented the issue of men's machismo, which is a topic that I touch very much in the novel. And it's the counterpart of it, you know. He's very manly. He's very manly. He even falls in love with the masseuse, which is wonderful. But there's no manliness lacking from him. Yet he's not machista, yeah, which is something that men have to start thinking about changing if they're going to move on successfully to the next century.
Yeah, and thinks of his values and
exactly.
He's a listener.
A listener, yes.
He speaks very, very little, very carefully, little. and gives advice very subtly. But he's a listener, very empathetic, mm-hmm. Extremely empathetic. He's a team player. He's willing to, you know, do anything to help things get done, whether it's taking
the coffee, the coffee.
Her vest. Oh yeah, the coffee. The eight things.
Exactly. He's just handling all those cups of coffee.
Whether it's, you know, she had some stain or in her vest, and
took it to the laundry,
and you know, doing very servile things. So you know, the most important task that may be taken at a given moment. So he's a team player, being willing to take the lowliest job or things that has to be done, and also that's one of the things that I think sticks out with him, and that kind of ties into the gospel where in the sermon that Padre Danilo is that the importance of us to be, I call it team player, but sometimes you have to be to serve, to be.
Say that word again.
You have to be willing to serve, to be to be a sirviente. Basically, the gospel the parable is that if you're going to be administering for somebody, a boss, el amo, you do it with loyalty, whether the boss is watching, and that's what the sermon's about, and if you do that, the boss is going to, you know, have faith in you, and you're going to prosper. And if you don't, you're going to lose. That's a very, very pragmatic gospel.
Seems so simple.
Parable by the very simple. And this guy was that. I mean, he was, just did what he had to do for the every given moment, whether he was being the chauffeur at that moment or whether he's helping somebody address what kind of studies should be, where is the best use of funds and in order to promote the business. And it's a really a huge, huge project. So whether he has to do that or he just takes the thing to the laundry or whether he's going to be
player. I loved about him that he was all those things and he had dignity. He kept his dignity intact. Mm-hmm. He was able to carry the coffee, take the clothes to the laundry, be a chauffeur, but he never lost his dignity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that's lovely. And why do you think that he could remain so dignified doing all these things?
Well, he has certain values, and he just made sure that he kept those values. He just didn't. One of the things of the narcissist, von Fedix, is values are not really that important. What do I have to achieve? And if the values have to change in order to achieve something, von Fedix is willing to change it. There's a great statement, chameleon, So I think that he had certain values and he never wavered on them. The other thing about him, he's extremely disciplined. Dress and timing and just very, very disciplined, which is I hate to say it, but I think in our generation, my generation, very disciplined and team player, and things aren't that way for a lot of people. So that was one of the things. Hector is way, but basically he's importance of being productive and helping other people, and then not being chief mozo. And I'll get to the back to that.
That's a good one.
And you're probably going to go to this church by the time you.
I'm really considering it.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you. They give a bulletin, and I'll tell you how that comes in. So we've run out of time in this first segment talking about the movie and a little of philosophizing on the El Nuevo Día, the statements, and they all kind of jibe in.
Oh yes.
So we'll come back and we're gonna summarize what we had talked about her novel. Rosana Matienzo Carrión is our guest, my guest today, and we'll summarize what we covered last week and then go a little bit more in depth into who this person was and what he stood for and what we can learn from it, which is what's important about the novel, I think. Okay, so take her away. The pause.